This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a great day. Why 2018's power teams are sitting out 2019 NFL free agency? That is the topic for you right here. Segment's brought to you by Mark Rubin, 1-800-LAWYERS. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do it more fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. 800-LAWYERS. Official lawyers of the Tolo, Rubin and Associates. And speaking of Tolo, we got Tolo Back Window Decals here in McKinney. It's right off the freeway. Just come on over here or up, down, wherever you might be. We're locked in, and it's a great place to find a new vehicle, isn't it, Jeff?
Sure is. Honda Cars in McKinney right now. Hold on. Let me see if I have the numbers on this.
You take a lawnmower home with you.
Well, you can, yeah. They got over 900 new and used cars here, and the sales staff here. Look at this. Look at the GM's been here for 26 years.
Jeez.
GSM's been here for 16 years. The used car director's been here for 23 years. And if you buy a new or a certified pre-owned Honda today, you get a free lawnmower. Come on and get you one.
Do you think if Honda Cars of McKinney sold 900 cars today, they have 900 lawnmowers in the back?
Hell yeah. Yeah, they wouldn't steer you wrong. They'd find those lawnmowers. If they didn't have them here, they'd run somewhere and grab them.
No customer will be denied.
They'd run up in the warehouse.
Albert Breer with the article here. And quotes from Stephen Jones. The setup was the Cowboys didn't spend in free agency, and several other premium NFL franchises aren't. Why not? So they go to Stephen here, and his quote, "I think you're overpaying in free agency most of the time." We knew that, right? It's a competitive market. He says they're overvalued because you're competing in a market where you've got teams that don't have as many players they have to spend on, and they have to use cap space on them. It's an interesting, you know, type of deal, and just basically, you know, we know that free agents are overpaid, but then when you take it to a market where now if you did draft well, you have $25 million in cap space, they have 75 to 105, and they can get all sorts of creative or competitive. They have a salary cap floor to worry about if they have 50 to 70. They have to spend a ton of money. They're willing, especially to front load contracts and say, bam, big old signing bonus and a huge year one salary free agent. So now you got to beat that as well. And I'm not trying to, you know, totally cape for Stephen Jones, because yeah, I think their approach is too conservative, though.
I think what they ran into, unfortunately, is they would have probably loved in the last 2 years to add a premium free agent, but Tony Romo and Dez Bryant were costing them money, and there might have been a few other people with a million here or a million there, but you just wonder during this Dak Prescott time of having him under rookie contract, if they weren't owing Tony Romo $9 million a year, and I forget, Jeff, what the number was to Dez like last year that they still had that was dead money. If they wouldn't have had about 15 to 20 million somewhere in that range, Gavin, of dead money.
Oh yeah, they were at 29 last year.
So
yeah.
29 million. So yeah, if they had, if they didn't have that dead money, then they probably would have spent 15 to 20 million on a premium player to really try to take them over the top. But
and they kind of did with the Amari Cooper.
True,
you know, I know
true.
They would have had the draft pick, but offset, it's like a 12 to 15 million dollar difference between what they're going to pay. Another quote from Steven. The other thing is, I don't think you're ever one player away. What do you think about this, Jeff? He says it's a building process. You've got to have some really good quarterbacking to win championships, but you got to put a team around him. The whole theory that you're one player away, it's one that we don't buy into like you might have in the past. Well, I think he said we might have in the past.
Well, they might have in the past. Guess what? The only reason you have rings is because of Charles Haley.
Yeah.
I mean, now there are other great players on that team. Don't get me wrong. If they don't trade for Charles Haley, they probably are behind San Francisco that whole time and chasing them. And then Green Bay comes behind them with Brett Favre and takes things away from them. So that one player thing, they add Charles Haley, they start winning championships. Then they lose to San Francisco, they add the one player in Deion Sanders, and then they win the championship again. So Steven can say that. The only reason you have three rings is because of that one player in trade/free agency.
Yeah, I'm mostly with him. I mean, I think if you have a chance to add the premier cover guy in the history of the league, or you have a chance to add a premier pass rusher, like the Bears aren't upset that they added Khalil Mack, for sure. But I think if you think that way, you put yourself in a spot where you can do dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Where it's like, guys, we are one player. Because you're really not. You can make your team better and give yourself a better chance to win. The Cowboys were in a great spot. And because they were already one of the premier teams.
Right.
And it was like, all right, so if we add another great player, what does that do? Well, it takes us from one of the great to probably the best. Then all we got to do is go play the games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can do some dumb stuff if you think, guys, if we only had a perfect strong safety, here's $16 million a year to somebody, and then that doesn't work out, and you sit there and you eat the whole contract. So for the most part, I'm with him. You're not a player away, because there's always going to be, even if you build the best team in football, what's your odds to win the title if you don't have the best quarterback? 10%?
Yeah, I'd guess that.
So you're never a player away, unless you want to say you're a Hall of Fame quarterback away.
You know where else they could say they are a person away? Is the right head coach.
Yeah.
I know Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones don't want to say that, and that's their stepson and stepbrother, but they are, I think, the right coach away, and there's very few. And don't get me wrong, that is not an easy process to pick the right guy, but I do think that if they change the head coach to the right guy, which is very hard to find, you could get to where you need to be.
Yeah, that could be a huge boost. I think you guys both nailed it to me, though, that you know, you do need to find the guy that's going to transform you. But I think now, compared to back then, even more so, your entire roster is like its own living and breathing entity, and you have to make great decisions on who you're extending, who you're cutting. You have to very much continue to draft well, because rosters just can't be good enough to not have any young talent coming up. And, you know, so more so than ever, I get it. There's a dozen really important decisions to make every year. From Stephen Jones, Jerry Jones, and the Cowboys. How about some of the numbers in this SI article? Five of the six lightest spending teams made the playoffs last year, and two of the three lightest spenders played in the Super Bowl. 10 of the 12 playoff teams from last year are in the bottom 14 in spending thus far, and two of the four in that cluster that didn't make the playoffs, Atlanta and Carolina, have been in the Super Bowls and made the playoffs multiple times over the past 4 years. That leaves two of the 18 heaviest spenders that made the playoffs. One was 8th, Philadelphia, and the other was 12th, and that was Baltimore. It's not unusual, writes Breer, that it skews this way. Jeff?
Yeah, I think if you are winning football games and going to the postseason, it probably means you've done a good job of team building, which means you've probably been drafting more or less pretty well over the last 5 or 6 years, which means your money's tied up. You're not going to have a ton of money to go spend, and it's also, generally speaking, not very smart to go win a bidding war when 31, 32 teams have a shot at the guy. Because when you reach that spot, who's going to win? The money's going to win. Who's got more money? Well, the New York Jets have more money. The Indianapolis Colts are kind of the rarity, where they're kind of good and they have a bunch of space. But if teams have $80 or $100 million to spend in a league where the salary cap is $180 million-ish, if you've got that much, it means you haven't had to pay the people you've been picking.
Great point.
They've been walking away, so you have all the money. You can buy whoever you want. If I have a really good football team, I don't have that money.
Okay, one final quote on it, and then I want to ask you guys, just does this let the Cowboys off the hook for you? And you can text in at 877-881-1053 or tweet at GBagNation or tweet to one of us, because there's one other factor. One other NFL exec said this year it's just a bad class. The class was always buyer beware. Even the guys who got franchised, not that they're one-year wonders, but players like Frank Clark and Dee Ford, it's more just that you wouldn't be sure if you would want to go invest significantly in them. So generally speaking about free agency, and then you take this class, apparently, at least according to that exec, even more suspect.
I'd let them off the hook. I know, Jeff, you've liked what they've done, so I don't even think they're on the hook for you. But I would let them off the hook, because I think it's a bad contract that Baltimore gave Earl Thomas. I think it's a bad contract that Kansas City gave Tyrann Mathieu. There hasn't been a player yet that has been signed that I'd say, son of a gun, Dallas, why didn't you do that? Why didn't you match or beat that contract? And so if I can't say to a certain player, why didn't you match or beat that, then I can't say the Cowboys have screwed up. But I can't tell you. I mean, I'd love for them to have an awesome player, but I think that that is not a good contract for Earl Thomas overall, where his injury history has been. And I'd love to have him. I can't do 4 years and 32 guaranteed.
I'm with you, man. I think they've nailed this part of roster economy perfectly. The only place I wouldn't give them a pass is we got to get more active in trading and finding opportunities to get players who are under the Amari Cooper kind of control that they had. But again, you know, I circle back to Amari Cooper, and I can't because they showed a willingness to do that already.
Yeah, and Jeff, the one thing I guess I'm not letting off the hook, and it's still yet to be known where this is going to go. I think they're doing a pathetic job with DeMarcus Lawrence, and I know that that's later on in the show, I believe. But right now I'm pretty frustrated with the lack of assertiveness, I guess would be the word I would use, with the Jones family understanding the injury and that there's a great chance that he sits out if you want to do it the way you've done it your whole career.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. They need to get to problem solving there real, real quick. It's a tough one, though. You know, and I think they have until at least the end of this month, maybe the middle of next month before I'm like, okay. You know, I still think we're in a window now where he could have the shoulder surgery. So they might be looking at April 1 or April 15 or so, as some sort of artificial
deadline. Or possibly
deadline.
Trading to get picks in this year's draft to help you out. Because I think if you get to draft day, it's going to be very tough to trade them. Because teams are going to get so excited about the pick they have. Like, we're going to be on the clock in 2 hours. And then you're telling them, hey, you don't want to pit. And they're going to be like, no, we've gotten really excited about it. Right now, I think is an okay time to trade.
All right, David Irvin, USA Today article here. We can get you an update on everything going on in his life, business-wise, football-wise. And the article is with Jory Epstein, a former writer for the Morning News, including a quote here. Irvin gave her about what Garrett told him last year that sparked a lot of the conversation. He told me I should just quit, said Irvin about Garrett. Smoke all the weed I want. The team didn't need me. I'm a distraction to the team. He views marijuana as a drug, whereas I view it as a medicine. It's not a good situation. So he says basically he took that advice and quit to pursue cannabis-based wellness. And that's one of the first debates around this article is, was Jason Garrett too rude with him or too hard with him when he was dealing with a lot of stuff? Because he's presenting his side in this USA Today, and he's a very sympathetic figure in his. The Cowboys were not sympathetic by the end. They were very much matter of fact, like, if this is what you want to do, then, you know, you're not going to be a Cowboy. And I see both sides very, very understandably. I think for David Irvin, yeah, you know, you guys see it as a drug. It's a medicine to me. They showed me the door. The NFL was not very considerate of the things I was going through. But from the Cowboys' perspective, from a head coach perspective, it's like, well, we feel like we've done a lot to give you second chances and to try to work with you, and now we're at the end of the line. You know, I think Jason could have been more nice, you know, the way he said it, but that's not incumbent upon him to be a good football coach. And I think managing the football team and putting your best foot forward to have the best team possible on Sundays is his primary responsibility as far as I'm concerned.
I will side with Jason Garrett on this one only because I've seen the way that Jason Garrett talks about Randy Gregory. Like,
yeah.
Jason Garrett doesn't take the fact that you smoke weed and fail a drug test and tell you, oh, well, then you don't care about our team, go quit. He loves Randy Gregory, and he wants him to be on the team, and he's fighting for him every single day, him and Jerry Jones both. But David Irvin, they view it as totally different, as David Irvin doesn't care. David Irvin doesn't care about his teammates. And whatever that stems from, hopefully, I hope David Irvin gets super rich and is really happy growing, marketing, smoking, selling, whatever. That'd be great. But the teammates, the coach, the owner, they all dealt with last year a couple of guys that had trouble passing drug tests. They'll all fight for one, and the vast majority of them won't stand up for the other one. So
point.
I think that says everything you need to know about him as a teammate.
Okay, Irvin said I don't know how many people he's going to convince here, but he said, people need to understand I'm not doing this. I didn't quit football to smoke weed. That would be idiotic. I understand that. It's about wellness. It's about rights, and people need to understand that. Then he talks about one thing that would have to terrify me if I'm the NFL and this is true. He says, you can check his medical records. He was not diagnosed with any of these things. And he says, bipolar, manic depression, and a borderline schizophrenia and PTSD. He says, it was scary to know I played a sport and I'm having these concussions and I don't really know how long I'm going to live. Memory loss, pain, I have mood swings, bipolar disorder. If you ask me, it is all related to the concussions. And concussions are an important part. We talked earlier about the Stanford cyclist. She'd had a concussion 3 months ago. And inside the story was a major part of, if you suffer a concussion, it doubles essentially your risk of committing suicide. If you're already depressed and suicidal and you get a concussion, like, you should be on serious, serious watch because things things get crazy. So as that mental health deteriorates for David Irving, if there's any way clinically, medically to tie those two things in, now I think the NFL would have a major problem, because you're essentially creating or helping to create these set of circumstances with mental health and then banning the drug of choice for people that find themselves there. That could be a nightmare, but that's a lot to connect.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I wish I respected David Irving. I don't. I don't think he's a respectable person from what I read and what I see. I don't know the person at all, so is that unfair a little bit from me? It is, but I just don't respect him. I think he's doing weed because he just likes doing it. When he's playing video games, it's because he wants to play video games and smoke weed. It's not because he's really having pain from not playing football the last 8 months of his life. I mean, I know he likes to connect opiates and marijuana, but wait, so you're in pain today? It'd be like me saying, oh, I got to take marijuana today because I don't want to take those opiates. From what? Sitting in a chair and looking at a computer for 3 straight hours? Like, to me, he wants to connect it to give himself an excuse that he just loves smoking weed all the time.
Yeah, when this story came out last week, I said, man, it's really tough to have a ton of credibility that you're stepping away from football after you've already essentially been banned from football. It's like, well, you're not firing me, I quit, after you've already got the pink slip in your hand.
Yeah.
You know, so I totally get that. But I am very, very interested, because I don't want to discount everything that David Irving is saying, because I think a lot of it's based in science. I just think maybe he's taking advantage of that science to present a narrative that's not there. Yeah. We'll see, though.
And I should have – I will tell this. I should probably have more respect for David Irving's thoughts on this and opinions. It's just I have a – for some reason, I have a bias against him that I just feel like he's a total F-up and doesn't really care.
Well, he has agreed to terms with a company called Ghost Beverage, and they're going to launch 2 brands, an infused cannabis drink, and then a pre-rolled marijuana cigarette product. And he's also the executive producer of a new docuseries called Shut Up and Tackle, where they will explore CBD and how he sees it as a problematic NFL aversion to marijuana. So there you have it, your David Irving update.
That's good. If you have something that you're passionate about, go do it. I hope that he does really well with those things.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.